Well, welcome. Let's change the tempo a little bit and let's take a couple of big deep breaths and prepare expectantly for the Lord to be in our presence this evening. I realize that that is a beautiful song, but sound like a funeral. So let's get a little bit of enthusiasm in our hearts. You know the word enthusiasm means God within. So let's draw God within our hearts and let's listen expectantly for his servant to deliver a message. Brother Gerald Cox.
I hope that he's guiding me as he usually does, because without his guidance, I have a terrible time accomplishing anything of this nature. I will tell you, it'll be a short sermon this evening. I know it's been a long day for most of you. This is a passage of Scripture that I've been wanting to use for some time, and I was led to use it at this time. It's one that I have dearly loved, and to me it has a deep meaning. And when we think of what we've observed in our church in the last few months, those that have had difficult times physically, overcoming obstacles, and how they've come through these obstacles, how God has led them and guided them through, it is it's a miracle. Brother Frank, miracle that you are able to be with us and looking good. Brother Bill, his eyes are getting better all the time. We see others that have had surgery and have been healed and are coming back to full strength again. And this is, to me, is God working in our midst. The scriptures that I'd like to use tonight is one that has been kind of special to me for a long time. I just like the message that's in it. It's actually a part of a sermon, a part of a message that includes at least three major miracles that Christ performed. But the one in the middle was the one that, to me, was so poignant and that I'd like to bring to you. And it starts with the 8th chapter of Luke, verses 43 through 48. And I'd like to break it down a couple of verses at a time tonight. I think it would be easier for me to. And please bear with me because my eyes are giving me a fit today. I think it's the allergies, but I'm not just quite focusing like I'd like for them to at times. Now, we know that in this story, Christ is coming off of a missionary journey. He has been preaching to the people, and he's been performing miracles in Galilee. One of the greatest miracles just precedes this story, and that is of the man who was possessed with demons. Now Christ drew them out of him, and that was a beautiful story. We see people that are, by all our judgment today, in many cases, are possessed with demons. And we can imagine how wonderful it was for this man. But shortly after this occurred, Christ was moving through the crowd, and a leader of the church named Jairus, in the 41st verse, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now this is the first part of this three-part story. And the second part's the one I'm going to concentrate on the most. But this is a beautiful thing because you think of Jairus and the status that man had. He was a priest. He was a ruler in the synagogue. And yet he was coming to this man who claimed to be the Christ because he had no place else to turn. Because his daughter was dying. His only child, daughter of 12 years old. So he swallowed his pride and he went to see Christ right in the midst of this crowd and begged him to come. Told him what the problem was. So the crowd thronging around Christ, we see it on television all the time. We see the celebrities and just hundreds of people thronging around and wanting to be a part of the group, even if they're not an integral part of it. They just want to be there. It's just being part of the group that's important. And this was the same thing in those days. This was a man that they had all heard about. They'd heard him preach, some of them. Some of them had just heard of things that he had done. So they all wanted to be there. They wanted to be a part of the crowd. And they wanted to see this excitement. They like the excitement that goes with a celebrity in a neighborhood that's never been there before. Someone who really stands out in their lifestyle. And in verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." Now, we know of people that have been ill for many, many years. Some of those people are healed. Some of them never gain that healing that they seek. They can spend all the money, and we see instances many times where people have spent all the money that they have trying to be healed, when all they had to do was turn to the great physician and ask him for the healing power. Many of them don't do it because of disbelief in their lives. They don't believe that somebody they can't see can do something for them. This woman didn't know Christ. She just heard about him. She heard about the miracles that he had been performing. She was willing to, and had just given up all hope after spending everything she had over a 12-year period of getting this malady stopped. All the great physicians of that time had no answer for her, but they took her money. And we see that quite frequently today. They don't have the answers for you, but they take your money. Some of those we call charlatans. And in modern verbiage, I like to call quacks. But we know that God has given many of those people great wisdom and great knowledge, and uses them to help us heal people. Uses them to overcome the difficult times in our life. Especially for those people that don't understand that they can turn to God. And there, I fully believe that there are times, even when you turn to God, that he will guide you to somebody that will heal you. Because that's the thing he wants to do. And he wants to prove a point. I don't know where the line is drawn between the two. I wouldn't even venture a guess. But we know that it's possible because we've seen evidences of it. This woman swallowed her pride, as did Jairus. And in front of all of these people that knew her, if you refer to Leviticus 15:19, it tells about this. If these people have a problem like this, they're considered unclean and they're to be set aside, away from people. And anybody that has anything physically to do with them are also soiled. And they have to be set aside. Well, there weren't real accommodations made in a lot of cases in the Old Testament, in the old Hebrew law, for these people. They could make any attempt to try to solve the problem, but if it wasn't solved, they still were outcasts like the lepers. And couldn't have anything to do with the normal population. So she came even though she was considered unclean, as a part of this crowd thronging along. And she felt in her heart that if I could just touch his cloth, his garment, his robe, if I could just touch the hem of it, I think he could help me. Now this is a soul that has just totally exhausted all means in her mind, physically and emotionally, to try to solve this problem that she's got. And she has finally come to the point of no return. She doesn't know what else to do. She doesn't want to be ostracized by the crowd, so she sneaks in as he passes by and touches the hem of his garment. In verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now you can imagine his disciples that are with him at this time. There are probably hundreds of people thronging around him, and Christ stops amidst all these people and says, "Who touched me?" Well, you can imagine what Peter said. "Well, Lord, who do you think touched you? People around here touching you all the time. Why would you think somebody special?" He said, "Because I feel virtue has gone out of me." A true need has come forth and has become a part of my ministry. Somebody has put faith enough in me that they would come and just touch me. And he turned around when he said, "Who touched me?" When all of them denied, you see, Peter and all those others that were with him said, "Lord, anybody in the crowd could have touched you. What difference does it make?" No, this is a special touch. In verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Just by that touch, by that great faith that she exhibited in doing this, she was immediately healed. Christ didn't have to reach down and pull her up. But the virtue in him left his body because of that great need. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." We at times, and I have many times been one of those that have been guilty of trying to do everything that I, in a situation that I think I can handle. And we come to the time when we finally realize that we don't have the ability to solve this problem. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional or spiritual, we just can't overcome whatever obstacle is keeping us from solving this problem. And that's when we need to do as she did and have that great faith and know in our hearts that he's right there. We can't touch the hem of his garment physically, but we can spiritually. We can glean that strength from him that only he can provide. There's no other source in our world or in our universe that can provide that except Christ. And he's there, willing to do it. I have a copy of a song that I've had in my collection for some time, and it's entitled "The Hem of His Garment." It's a beautiful song. It's a simple song, but I liked it. It says, "She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The mighty deed was done. He turned with, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And peace that passeth all understanding with gladness filled her soul." And the chorus says, "Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee." It can't be explained any more clearly than that. Jesus, we know, was constantly being pounced upon by many people. We see the man who had the demons in him. We see Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. We know the Roman centurion that came to him because of his servant that was ill. We know of many others that came to him, and you know in their position in life that they came as a last resort. They had this problem in their life, and they couldn't deal with it, and they didn't know where else to turn. And it's a shame that we allow ourselves sometimes to be that way, knowing full well that we have that great physician. Whether it be a physical problem, whether it be an emotional problem, or whether it be a spiritual problem, in most cases, only He can provide the answer for them and the strength for us to get through them. I was singing as I was putting this together of the song, "He Touched Me." But it doesn't quite apply here because it talks about Christ actually reaching out and touching somebody. I love that song. I think it's a beautiful piece of music. But this is the instance where somebody else touched him. Not his body, just the hem of his garment. And they were healed. We have to, but we shouldn't, arrive to sometimes a point of total desperation before we will give in and quit trying to handle the problems ourselves. The song we sang just before I started speaking, "Nearer My God to Thee," I thought fit in there real well, because if we learn to seek His nearness constantly with us, we won't have problems like this, because we know where to go for the answers to them. We have the assurances through the Scriptures. I've been doing a lot of reading here lately. Some in the Old Testament, some in the New, some in the Book of Mormon. And it fascinates me how through all of the turmoil, all of the problems that people have met in the history of the writings that we have, there has always been one answer to all the problems. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has the power and He is willing to share it with us at just the asking. We need not be bashful. He's always available in the middle of the night. Comment I used once before in a sermon. He never sleeps. Sometimes I think we have a tendency to think, well, you know, this is just a little problem and I can find a way to work myself through this. Or we're at a point where the problem's gotten so big that we think there's no answer. And that was one of the things that made me kind of center on this too, was a problem I've been having here lately with my daughter and grandson. When he told me one evening he had no hope. And I've tried my best to explain to him that he does have hope. That Jesus is always there with him. And all he has to do is just ask Him to help him, and He'll be there. You know, it's hard for an 11-year-old to understand that. It's hard sometimes for adults to understand that. And we see the evidences of that when people fail to let him lead. But with a young person like that, it's difficult. They just can't quite comprehend. He told me, he said, you know, I just don't really understand all this about God. I said, Curtis, I never have. But in my finite mind, it's not for me to totally understand all of this. It's just to accept what he says by faith. That's what you got to do. Know in your heart that he is going to be there to help you and strengthen you. I think I got the point across to him. I keep praying that I did. Regardless of our thinking, regardless of whether we consider our problems too small or too great, and sometimes we may even think, well, it's too late now. The damage is already done. What good would it do? It'll do a lot of good. Many of you have run across obstacles and have had that healing, regardless of what type it is, because you turn to the Lord. And if we truly seek him, and we truly seek that nearness that last song was talking about, then we won't have those obstacles, because we know, we may have them, let me rephrase that, but we know where to go to find the answers for them. But then the big step is, we know where to go, but do we have the faith to lay it at his feet and leave it there and let him lead? To me, that's the big obstacle that many of us have to overcome. Sometimes we try to lay the problem at his feet, and yet in the back of our minds, it's still churning. Thinking, well, you know, if nothing happens by morning, then it's like a friend of ours told him, I keep praying to God for this and that, and he doesn't answer me. I tried to tell her one day, that may mean that no is the answer. What you're praying for is not what he thinks you need in your life. Not what she wanted to hear. I found a couple other scriptures that I thought fit in here real well. One of them is from the 16th chapter of Alma, verses 195 and 96. It says, my brethren, if you could be healed by merely casting about your eyes, that ye might be healed, would ye not behold quickly? Or would ye rather harden your hearts in unbelief and be slothful, that ye would not cast about your eyes, that ye might perish? If so, woe shall come upon you. But if not so, then cast about your eyes and begin to believe in the Son of God. There's the answer, isn't it? Believe in him, that he will come to redeem his people, and that he shall suffer and die to atone for their sins. In my readings, I see, and I love to use the term, and if it's becoming a cliche, please forgive me, but the learned scholars, religious scholars of our time, and how they try to explain away God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, the happenings that are in the Bible. And you know, if you've read much, that so many of the things that we have read in the Bible and believe actually happened, they have tried to dispute. But in virtually every case, when they try to dispute it, it may take several years. Sometime along the way, somebody's going to come along and find evidences to say, this is exactly what happened as the Bible told us. It happened when the Bible told us, and it happened exactly the way the Bible told us, and we can prove it. I remember several examples, one of them about the Battle of Jericho. So many scholars for years said that could not possibly have happened that way. Jericho was a strong fortress. It couldn't have fallen under those circumstances. But archaeologists digging in Jericho have found out that it did happen that way, that the walls tumbled out. If it had fallen to an attacking force, the walls it would have tumbled in. The walls tumbled out, just as the Bible said. And there have been so many instances of that throughout the Scriptures, where archaeologists have proved that God's Word is exactly what it says it is. That stuff happened. And I think of the shallow lives that those people hold in not believing what the Bible says and trying to disprove it. And I joy when they get shot down, because it proves to them that they're not the wonderful scholars that they think, because they don't have faith. The other scripture that I'd like to bring to you is from the 8th chapter of Proverbs, verse 17. It said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So all we have to do is seek Him early in our Christian life, acknowledge that He is our Lord and Savior, and place the reliance upon Him to help us overcome these problems, whether it be illness, whether it be emotional problems, whether it be a spiritual problem. We know that He has the answers, but do we have the humility in our lives to say, I'm not even going to try to handle this situation. I'm going to let God lead me. I say it too many times, we don't have those answers. And He's there waiting for us. As it says in Proverbs, those that seek me and love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I'm there. Just call upon me. Don't wait. Don't throw your life away. Let me lead, and your life will be richer. I hope that this message strikes you as it does me. The only part that I haven't finished up with was about the Jairus' daughter. Because this was where Christ was going when this lady touched the hem of His garment. And we know that when He reached the house, the servant came out and said, it's too late, Lord, she's dead. But once again, Jairus had given up his hold on this situation and given it to the Lord. And Christ's answer was, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. And it came to pass. But I like the story in the middle there. I thought it was very poignant to me about how somebody can finally, after trying desperately over all these years, spending what she had to get it done, seeing all of the great physicians of the time, only to find that nobody had an answer for her. Willing to let go of that. Willing to say, okay, Lord, here I am. See what you can do with me. I'll be willing to bow to you and to your leadership. And letting it go, leaving it at His feet. Thank you.